Something better is on its way. Something better is on its way. Can you feel it?
Yeah.
Do you know it? Are you going to walk in it? Better, that word, there's something about that word. I think there's something about that word that when we hear that word, it's like, yeah, right. Sure, it's going to get better. Sure, things will work out. Yeah, right. Especially when in the middle of it, in the thick of it. Better sometimes feels a little elusive, kind of out there in the distance. But I got to tell you, when I look at the members of this church, I get inspired. We're going to go through a laundry list of all the heroes of old. But I want to talk about the heroes of now, and it's you. I look at you, you guys amaze me. Debbie, with the health issues lately, not to mention other problems in your life, and it's, you always know it's going to get better. You just do. You stay there. Marie, you're another one. You always know it's going to be okay. It's going to work out. It's going to get better. Tisa, you know, I might give you a little word here and there, but you already know what I'm talking about. Dave, you know what I'm talking about. Amy, you know what I'm talking about. Everyone here knows what I'm talking about. I could go through each and every one of you. Roman, man, you just don't give up, dude. I don't care. I don't care what it is in this place. You don't give up. I'm ready to throw the towel in sometimes, but he's like, no, pick that towel back up. We can do this or that. We'll get it done. Julia, the magic, and I will use that word because God is magic. He is supernatural. The supernatural magic that comes out of you. There's been times, too many to count, where I wasn't even sure how the heck I'm going to get up here and say a word. Today is not too far from that. And then we worship. And then the hope comes in. The change comes over. And I know it's going to get better. I know it. And I could point out each and every one of you. Marianne, I mean, seriously? The health issues that you've had to deal with? Give me a break. But I admire you because, man, there ain't nothing going to keep you down. Nothing. Ever. Mary, the wisdom that you have, just forget about it. I get to go through books and commentaries and all, and Mary just pops it out, and it's like, okay. She just knows it, walks it, lives it. LaWanda, you with your neighbors and everybody around you, David, even though you struggle with your own self, God looks on you. God has you covered like nobody's business, and you would not give up God for anything ever, period. Even if I could take away the illness, you won't trade it. Not even in a heartbeat would you take the deal.
Great faith.
That's great faith. And that's what this whole book is about. And I apologize if I don't mention everybody. I'm trying to. But I could just go on and on and on. Mary Lynn, you constantly bring back what's going on in this world and want us to get in and pray about that. Jan, with all your family, and then moving into your apartment building and witnessing and talking to people. Oh my goodness gracious. Becky, you're just so hungry. You're so hungry for the word. You just want to just soak it up and then apply it. And you're so kind. You're just a kind person. Each and every one of you, and all the ones that aren't even here right now, I see it. It inspires me to get better. Better. You know, it doesn't get any better than Hebrews. I'm just going to say, man, Hebrews, this book is off the chart. I keep thinking, like, okay, how much more can they possibly say? We went through the whole thing about high priest for like 9 weeks, and it was something new, a new revelation each time. And I'm going to tell you, that holiness thing, please, hear me on this. Because it's a revolution. I could write a book on this one. We are made holy. Now we need to live in it. We need to live up to it. We're already it. In 25 years, no one's ever told me that. God told me that. And Hebrews is the one that brought it out. Not to mention the high priest and all the saints of old and all the sacrificial system and why did Jesus have to die this brutal death. Hebrews covered it all. What's going on with this book? They don't even know who the author is. Who is this guy? Where did he get this level of wisdom? And it is wisdom.
Maybe Melchizedek wrote it.
You know, there's somebody... I was just in a class and somebody was talking about this. And we were talking about, like, on that road to Emmaus. And something struck me. I forget where it was. I think it was our Monday night. And on the road to Emmaus, that it was our Monday night. On the road to Emmaus, Jesus, you know, reveals all the Old Testament to these two walking on the road to Emmaus. It was actually in my men's group. That's where it was. And so Jesus reveals, you know, I would love to have been one of those two guys. Because he reveals everything in the Old Testament to the two of them. And he shows them all how it connects to him. And you know, they're acting like, and as we get into Easter, we're going to get into this kind of a story. And they're acting, you know, Jesus is with them, and they don't recognize him until he breaks bread. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? And but on the way, they're asking, you know, he's acting like he doesn't know what's going on. And they're saying, well, didn't you hear about what happened? And how Jesus was crucified? And of course, they don't recognize him yet. But what really struck me in this conversation we were having on Thursday night is that Luke, we did a whole study on Luke, and I wasn't even sure I wanted to go into Luke. Because, I mean, Luke isn't one of the eyewitnesses, okay? Luke is like the other guy, you know, who wrote another gospel. But he's not like Matthew, who was right there. But then when I got into it, I realized that Luke, man, he talked to everybody. He talked to all kinds of people. And so when Luke compiled all his information, he did so with as if he's interviewing everybody around. So it's actually richer than just one person. And I came to realize that before we even started the study. But now if you put all these pieces together, so stay with me for a minute. Where does Luke get all that information? I mean, who did he talk to?
I told him.
Maybe, just maybe. He talked to those guys on the road to Emmaus. And maybe they helped fill in some of the blanks. And I know this guy from Hebrews, whoever wrote that, maybe he talked to some of these guys too. Because I'm going to tell you, in Hebrews, it is revealing. I really never thought of this until we're saying this right now. But Hebrews is kind of like that conversation Jesus is having with those guys on the road to Emmaus. It is revealing everything. All the Old Testament is showing how it all connects. So funny, like the first verse today is going to say, and what more shall I say? Because, I mean, we've said so much. That we've gone so more deeper than I even went in when we went into Romans or the Gospel of John. Deeper than the book of Revelation. We've gone so deep in this book. What more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, or Jephthah, about David and Samuel and the prophets.
Is Barak slash in Obama?
So each of these are heroes of old. And our author is saying, you know, I've been telling you all these things, and I don't have time to get into all of it with you. I can't go into all these guys and how they were all touched by God and how they all did amazing things. But you already know all these stories. You've already heard of all these stories. who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. These heroes of old conquered. They administered justice. They gained what was promised. So let me ask you, what was promised? Because when we answer that question, we'll see what is better. What was promised? What does God promise? You know, we have those little books I hand out all the time. Somebody left a whole box of them on our doorstep. I still don't know who did it. And they left me a gift of a whole box of these God's Promises books. So if you need one, let me know. They're King James versions, but it's still cool. I think New King. So that whole book is nothing but the promises of God for us. And there's a whole book of them. And you can go in there and look at all the different categories of if you're feeling depressed or if you're feeling like needing to be feeling worthy or whatever else it is, and then they give you all these scriptures that will show you what God says about that topic. It also has a whole thing about who Jesus is, who God is, and it's all scripture. So it's a kind of a trick question when I say what is the promise, because it's really promises. But there's one main promise that encompasses all the promises. You follow me? The main promise is Sunday school answer, Jesus. The main promise is Jesus. All the gospels, all what he told those guys on the way, wrote to Emmaus, all the four gospels, all the letters of Acts, all the Old Testament, all the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation and everything in between, it's all Jesus. It's all Jesus. Jesus is the promise. And then because of Jesus and the promise, we get all the promises. And those are like, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I'll always care for you, I've got your back. Quench the fury of the flames and escape the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. I mean, when I was reading it, I said, it just, you know the verse that's got to come up here, right? Through Christ who strengthens me, I can do all things. I mean, that just screams out here that through Jesus we can do all things. And when we know that, things get better, because we know we can conquer anything and any flame, any lion, any adversity, anything, just like the heroes of old. Women raised back their dead. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Raising the dead. Do you know it can happen? Do you know it can happen like right now? Do you know if one of us right now, Isaac and Jacob, you know, that's what he knew. That if he sacrificed his son, that God was going to raise him back. That's what Hebrews taught us. That God can bring back the dead physically. And it has happened. And in the Old Testament, some of those heroes of old that we're talking about, they witnessed these things. And then women had their son, their child, brought back to them in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament with Jesus as well. So we know that it's fact, that the dead are raised. Lazarus was raised from the grave. And we know that we are all raised on the last day. Can it get any better than that?
Go to heaven.
What can this world bring against us, against that? Some face jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. Okay, who wants to sign up? I mean, these are the heroes of old of what they had to do. And what they, you know, I'll tell you, a lot of times we get this idea like, oh, I just wish I lived in a different era. No, you don't. You know, when they would put a siege on a city, you know what that really was about? That they would starve out that city for 6 months, and they would put soldiers all around that city, around those walls that they couldn't get in. But they'd make sure no provisions went into the walled city. So they literally starve them out. It was brutal. And for Christians that literally sawing them in half, these are facts, and quartered and thrown to lions and animals, and the thing about sheepskins, they would put them on them so the animals would attack them. I mean, this was bad stuff. This was hard stuff. And what does it say here, though? What does it say about them? They faced all this because they knew something better was coming on. They did all of this because they refused to be released so that they may gain an even better resurrection. God has something better for us no matter what we go through. It says the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, lived in caves and holes in the ground. That really strikes me. The world was not worthy of them. They were so far and above the world's standards. And they were so giving and loving towards everybody in the future as well as in the present. They so believed in God that they would suffer anything. And not like I'm wanting people to get here and do a sign-up sheet for suffering. We don't need to do that because Jesus already did that for us. You know, the book of Hebrews is pointing that out too. Like, we went through that whole thing about the wrath of God and why he had to be tortured. And what God showed us is that because the alternative separation from God is so much worse. That's what they knew. They knew that the alternative was so much worse than all these torturous things they would endure. And for what? Continuing. Two more verses. They were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. They went through all this. They endured all of this. But they didn't get the promise. And what is the promise?
Christ.
Jesus. They didn't get Jesus. They were tortured, they were sawed in half, and they were quartered, and they were persecuted, and they were jeered at, and they were flogged, and they didn't get the promise.
What does that mean?
Yeah. They didn't get Jesus. Jesus wasn't there yet. At least the physical incarnation of him. They were all commended for their faith. We have that great hall of faith of all the heroes of old. They were all commended for their faith. To this day, we look at Hebrews 11 and we just marvel at the names. Yet none of them received what had been promised. I got it, David. Thank you. They were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, what in the world does that mean? That's one of these puzzle things, okay? That's one of these things that, like, you got to sit there and think about, like, what are you talking about? They were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what had been promised. We know that's Jesus. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. How are we made perfect?
Jesus.
Jesus. What is the promise?
Jesus.
Who gets the promise?
Jesus.
We do. Who else gets the promise?
They do.
Who else gets the promise? The future. Jesus took care of the past. He took care of everybody in the present. And he took care of everybody in the future. The big payoff, the big picture here. How many parents will sacrifice for their children financially? Why?
Because we love our kids.
Don't you want a vacation?
Right.
Don't you want a new sofa?
I didn't raise my hand.
Come on, don't you want a new TV set?
Maybe you want a new
How about a new car? You gotta want a new car. That old junker.
I still got some miles left on.
Still got a few miles left on. But you'll do. But you. But you'll. We sacrifice for our children. You know who else does that? God.
Yes.
I sacrifice for my children. I even give up my child for my children. We're paying it forward, folks. All those people of old in the Bible, they're all paying it forward. And here's the thing. They're made perfect because of it. They're made perfect because of Jesus. They didn't get the promise yet. But they got the promise still. They didn't get the promise yet, but they got the promise still. We have the promise now and into the future. And everybody, all of the future generations, you know, people get all up in arms about the planet. And they ought to. And I mean, there's some issues going on. And are we destroying it? Are we in another? I don't know. Too deep for me. You know, you're over my head. But we care about this planet, and we want to make sure the planet's taken care of. Because of why? Because we got children, and we've got grandchildren, and we got great-grandchildren. We got all the future generations. We need to take care of now so we can take care of them. That's what they were doing. And God made them all perfect simultaneously. I heard somebody say, you know, when were you saved? This is my friend Glenn over at Evanswood. When were you saved? You know, and people get into all like, okay, give me the name, the date, and the time, and you know, when exactly did you finally give your life to the Lord? And then when we got into the TTI thing and our disciple making, we got into, you know, really what matters is, are you saved today? Can you put down today's date? Because that's what I really care about. But what he says is that everybody, past, present, and future, I'm stealing from Glenn here, got saved at the exact same moment on that cross as we celebrate Good Friday. Everybody got saved at one moment in time that transcended all of time. They were made perfect at the same time that we were made perfect, the same time that everybody in the future will be made perfect, and we are holy, we are perfect. I want us to really get that. I want you to own that. Because when you own that, I think that's the gift that God gave me on that November day when I heard that it's going to get better. Because shortly thereafter, I went on this quest for holiness. And it was a quest, all right. In 25 years, I have. I'm going to write a book. I swear I'm going to write a book. That all we have to do is live in it because we already are it. It doesn't get any better than that. So, Jesus is in us. God is in us. The Holy Spirit is in us. It doesn't get any better.
And we actually had the better compared to them. We have Jesus. They did not.
We have presently understanding of Jesus. I think that author of Hebrews understood all of this and more. I'd love to know who it is. But that's okay, because God has not revealed that at this stage.
Maybe it would have been Jesus that wrote it.
So here's the bottom line. Remember, we've been talking about seeing it, right? We've been talking about what do you see? what do you envision? What is your vision? What do you experience? What is invisible but yet can be seen? Faith is what is invisible but yet can be seen. That's what faith is. And so I'm saying, look, see the better in every situation, in everything with your families, in every reconciliation, in every illness, in every challenge. Look for the better. And what you'll find is Jesus. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you that our Lord is better. We thank you that everything is better. We thank that you are the best, getting better in us. As we allow you, as we see you in every circumstance, in everything in our lives, we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you made it possible for past, present, and future to be made holy to our Father God. We thank you, dear Father God, that you have patiently waited for us and worked with us and helped us grow into who you'd have us become. And we thank you, dear Holy Spirit, for that entire transformation process that continues through this day as we live in that promise that's already been given us, our Lord Jesus, and all the church said. Amen. Situation, in every place, in every challenge. I have to really express that emphasize the challenges, the hardships. You know, as we read through all that, the hardships, that's what struck me, man. They went through some stuff, and that's just a short list. They said, I don't have time to get into all of it for you. I mean, but they went through some stuff, and they did it because of a promise that was yet to come. And in many ways, we're doing the same thing. And we have a promise yet to come as that last day. But we have a promise that's already here, that's already changing and transforming us. Let us pray. Dear Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your transformation, dear Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have done everything. You have made us holy already. We love you, Lord. Help us to live in and see better, look for the better in everything and everyone, including ourselves. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord. Be sure to get there for that Easter egg hunt. This is going to be amazing. We're going to be able to talk to all these people. Get there for that Cedarville. And get there for that Good Friday. And as we get ready for Easter, next week I've got Reverend Sheila coming in here, and she'll be doing Palm Sunday with you guys. It's going to be amazing because she's amazing. God bless each and every one of you.